Good evening, little Saigon, and those places that exist between the infinitesimal space defined by the limits of functions. As x approaches infinity, 1 over x, right? Whatever. It's October the 1st, 2019. For all of you out there, you need to know something. I will sometimes say things that might offend you. If you're not clear on this, if it seems confusing, I'll say that again. I might offend you. In fact, if I'm having a good day, I hope that I do offend you. In fact, if I'm having a really good day, I hope you can sense the white heat of the complete disdain that I hold for certain features of my reality. But you also need to know this too. Just because you get upset about something, just because you get frustrated, doesn't mean it's the end of the world. It's one of those little learning lessons in life. I think if you're trying to embrace the possibility that you're never going to be frustrated, I think maybe that's crazy. I think if you're trying to embrace the possibility that you're never going to hate anything, oh boy, that terrible word hate. That's a scary word for October the 1st, 2019. Hate is such a scary word. It scares the fuck out of people. Hate. Don't hate. Hate crimes. You know, I used to think that murder by itself was enough of a, you know, kind of an overt type A expression of hate that you didn't really need to add the word hate. It was simply a crime. And fuck, if it whatever it is, it sure as ain't love, man. Hey, buddy, can I have your wallet? No, I know you have a wallet, buddy. Oh, yeah, you think it's because it's like Christmas Eve that somehow we're not gonna mug you? Oh, you're gonna pretend you don't have a wallet. Oh, you're here from out of town. That's really sad. And the mugger, you know, stabs you in the stomach and checks your clothes for wallets and jewelry and steals your wedding ring and your phone, and you're bleeding out in the cold darkness of night, and you're asking yourself, wow, did that person hate me? So the idea of a hate crime has always seemed ridiculous to me, but here's the deal, folks. Hate is just a word. It's also just a feeling, okay, like love. You love some things. You know, people sometimes say, I love pizza. Well, guess what? Some people hate pizza. People who are, like, I don't know, lactose intolerant, they don't like pizza. You know, at least the kind with cheese on it. People that don't like the gluten, excuse me, the glyphosate, excuse me, the gluten. People that don't like that don't like the pizza usually, unless it's a special kind of fucking pizza. And don't get me started on the whole keto thing, okay? I have people in my life, friends and family, who have been sucked into this. And frankly, I'm actually a big fan of what I would call mostly keto. I would say eating more, you know, animal fats and animal proteins is better than eating a lot of carbs. The problem is most of our food is poison now. So if you're going to ask me, how do I eat healthy? I truly don't fucking know. But don't you hate that? Don't you hate that it's hard for me to know how to recommend a healthy fucking meal for you? Yeah, I know you hate it. Hate is just a word, okay? If you murder somebody, that's different than a word. I know this sounds like I'm talking baby talk, but a lot of people are deeply confused about the difference between words and actions. Words? and actions. Okay? Words are just words. You might not like them. They might offend you. If someone says certain words that are racist, you say, "Holy crap, you pissed me off. Now I hate you." But just because you feel like shit and are maybe pissed off, is that license to pick up a little bit of rebar or lead pipe and beat someone to death? So we need to disentangle these things. Part of the bullshit of a hate crime is believing that you can connect the two things together. They have got nothing to do with each other. People hate each other all the fucking time, and that doesn't mean they go around killing each other. People disagree with each other all the time. That doesn't mean they go around killing each other. People get offended. People get annoyed. People can't stand each other. And that still doesn't mean that they will kill someone or that they have a right to kill someone or to harm them or to steal their shit or to set their fucking home on fire or to burn a cross on their fucking lawn. Which is a kind of arson, I think. You know, it's already a fucking crime, I'm pretty fucking certain. I'll tell you about hate. I hate shellfish. I hate people who talk about shellfish. People will say, "Dan, would you like to go get the shrimp special? Dan, would you like to go get all-you-can-eat lobster at Red Lobster?" And believe me, I call Red Lobster Red Tide. No, I don't want your shellfish. I hate shellfish. Shellfish are eating the poop of the sea. Whatever your feelings are about all of the big environmental issues, it seems pretty self-evident to me that we're treating the oceans like giant toilet bowls. You know, we're dumping massive amounts of radioactive waste into the Pacific Ocean from Fukushima, acting as if it's no big fucking deal. So it's clear to me that we treat the oceans like giant toilet bowls. So my question is this: if you saw a shrimp or a lobster, if you saw a crab or an oyster, if you saw a clam or some type of mollusk clinging to the side of the inside of your toilet, would you fucking eat it? So yeah, I hate shellfish. I guess I'm a hater. Let me tell you something else too, folks. I hate French bulldogs. I hate French bulldogs. I mean, I might be okay with beans because, you know, once you get connected to a creature, even if it is an abortive hunk of meaty, fleshy glumbuli that was never allowed or could ever be allowed to properly mature into a dog and ends up becoming more like a hermit crab. Here, beans, I love you, man. Beans, I love you. You know I do. But yeah, in general, I think the people that created French bulldogs were probably Satanists. I think the purpose of the French bulldog is still to be discovered. It's going to feature in some fiction I write in the future. But like I said, man, I hate French bulldogs. I hate Denmark. I hate Denmark. I've never even been to Denmark. I hate Denmark so much I don't want to go. You could keep a free ticket. If you said, "Dan, you want a free ticket to go to Denmark?" No. I don't need to go to a nation of inbreeds and inbreds and folkish kingdoms of magical unicorn bullshit. I don't need to go to Denmark. I don't need to see Tivoli. I don't need to have some authentic artisanal kringla. I don't need to see Christiania. I can get my weed at Uncle Ike's. I don't need to see the glistening dark sea of the Baltic and all the poop dragons that flow from Copenhagen. I hate Denmark. Of all the nasty places on earth, it's the worst. If you consider that almost every reason why people hate white people is because of Denmark, yeah. That one nation, if it were gone, would erase all the great crimes of white man history. So I hate Denmark. I hate Seattle. And you might be saying, Dan, why are you back in Seattle? Well, I've talked about this on previous podcasts, and it's a little bit fucking dark. I am back in Seattle because it was between this, in December of 2017, it was between this or drowning myself in the White River in Indianapolis. And I gotta say, you know, that given that choice, drown myself in the White River or come to Seattle, I don't know. To this day, I will never know which choice was the right one. Now, of course, I know what Jesus would say, and he would shake his finger at me as while he was saying it. But by the same token, I'm a human being. I'm not perfect. I'm not Jesus. I'm not Jesus. Although I don't think Jesus likes me. I'm sorry, Jesus. I hate Seattle. Enough said. I hate Velveeta. Why would anybody like Velveeta? I knew a dude when I was in school. He would make this fucking jalapeno sauce using Velveeta. Doesn't he know what Velveeta is? Velveeta is the 34th fractionated oil that comes from every barrel of oil from the Middle East. When they're done separating the stuff for gasoline and diesel, motor oil, and axle grease, what they're left with is Velveeta. They add yellow dye number 78. They add sugar flavoring 16. They add monosodium glutamate. I hate Velveeta. I hate Jack in a Box. I don't get why people like Jack in a Box. The reason why Jack in a Box still exists, I don't know. It does final assembly food. If you wonder why there are 100 items on a Jack in a Box menu and only one person working there, because nothing's actually cooked there. It's all final assembly. If you look at that egg, you say, oh, this egg looks like it was freshly fried. If by fresh you mean in a factory someplace where chemicals, specifically acids, were used to simulate the frying process, and then placed into an infrared cooker, and then handed to you fresh at Jack in the Box. Fuck, I hate Beauty Bark. My dad loved Beauty Bark. I don't see what's so beautiful about it, okay? It's annoying as fuck. If you have to pick fucking weeds, you better have gloves because you're going to have nothing but fucking slivers in your hands and everything else. It's terrible. I hate Beauty Bark. I hate logging. I've said this in the past. I didn't want to be a logger. It's a job somebody has to do. My dad had to do it. I hate it. I hate white sauce on any fucking pasta. Which is funny because there's a story going back to when I was stationed in Korea. Like 20 years ago plus. I was sitting in my Humvee with one of my staff sergeants. I was a platoon leader at the time, big fucking whoop. I was an Avenger platoon leader. That's a vehicle that carries Stinger missiles. I don't think it exists no mo, because it's about as usefully designed as a French bulldog. And we were sitting in the Humvee and we were talking, and I said, you know, we were talking about food, and I said, I really like Italian food, and I said, I went over to the NCO club the other night, and I had some pretty good spaghetti. And the sergeant, and he happened to be African American, because this is important to the story, the sergeant looked at me and said, "I don't have the red sauce, sir." "Well, why don't you have the red sauce?" "Because I can't stand the white sauce." "Oh, you know, you can figure out why." "Well," he said, "I won't have the red sauce because women that I know in my community will take Mensa. If you know what Mensa is, it's the debris that leaves the body once a month when a woman is connecting to her female goddess moon. That's the nicest way I can put that shit, having grown up with six fucking sisters." Yeah. Anyways, I guess according to him, and again, he grew up in New Orleans, so this must be a New Orleans thing. It might not even have anything to do with African American culture. It could totally be hoodoo, voodoo, New Orleans bullshit. But he says that women will take their Mensa and put it in spaghetti sauce, the red tomato sauce, to hide it, and use that to put a hex on you, to put a love spell on you. But I do hate white sauce. I hate slavery. I hate people who allow themselves to become slaves. I do not like the government. I actually hate the government. I do. I may not hate the people that work for it, but as an institution, I kind of hate it. That's why I call it the crocodile. If I say I hate the crocodile, nobody gets all stressed out. If you say you hate the government, somebody wants to call 911. I hate murder, but this world is filled with murderers. I hate bullies, but this world is filled with bullies. I hate child abusers. I hate the people that treat children like objects, like something that they can use, something they can use for some purpose. If child abusers could be sent to an island where all they have are hunting knives and hand grenades, and we ring the island with machine guns, and they have to live out their life there, for whatever brief days of living with just, you know, no water, no food, and hunting knives and hand grenades, that's where I would send all of the pedophiles and child abusers. That's how much I hate child abusers. I hate Wall Street. Not because I hate capitalism. Actually, I don't believe there are any Americans alive today who actually still remember what capitalism was. I hate Wall Street because it has institutionalized a kind of financial repression, a financial thievery, a scumbag kleptocratic society that has zero to do with freedom and everything to do with fucking your neighbor. So I hate Wall Street. I hate the bankers. Does that mean I want to kill them? No. I hate the institution. Are you guys sensing a pattern here? I hate farm-raised fish, okay? I'm sorry if we are so crookedly fucking up our oceans that salmon will no longer breed properly. Let's work on the salmon problem breeding properly. Let's give up on the farm-raised fish. That's not helping the situation. I hate pho. I mean, think about this. I hate pho. I live in Little Saigon, and I hate pho. It has an aftertaste. It's slimy. It's greasy. And the people that serve it to me usually have a really fucking messed up look on their face. And I'm not being racist. But if I am, that's my own fucking business too. I hate what we're doing to the orca whales in the Puget Sound. We are killing them and driving them away. And it leaves me with a question, why? Because I know what they are. I know they're apex predators. I know that if they leave, if they go, it means that the system of life that allowed them to exist in the Puget Sound is either crashing or, more realistically, has crashed. Now, all these things I've said about hate, the things that I hate, does anybody out there actually think I've given myself license to take some violent, arbitrary bullshit action against another human being? I haven't. There is not one license to do anything in hating something. You can hate whatever you want to. If you hate Donald Trump, more power to ya. If you hate Hillary Clinton, I don't give a fuck. If you hate all of the above, I'm right there with you, buddy. I wanted to get this topic out of the way. Don't know if it was fun. It was fun for me. Next topic, I read, according to NASA, the institution founded by Nazis and Satanists, according to NASA, the very same institution that went to the moon a half a dozen times or so, but forgot how it did it. According to NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, we may soon have proof of life on Mars. The Mars rover, the Mars Explorer, the Mars vehicle, the robot on Mars. This robot is moving about discovering evidence of ancient life. There's reason to believe that the rover found a turd. Yeah, a turd. A turd is the word. It found an ancient turd on Mars. The turd is quite large. It is approximately 17 inches in length. Inside of the turd, they have discovered a fossilized kernel of corn, some peas, a little bit of undigested pork. Yep, NASA will announce its discovered evidence of life on Mars, either currently existing or previously existing, and that's really great. I put this into the category of, do you believe these motherfuckers? This is the category I put this into. I don't know. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. What I'm fairly certain of is you don't go to the fucking moon and forget how you did it. And then you don't go to Mars with probes several fucking times since then, and still you don't know how to get back to the fucking moon. It's weird. Okay? It's just weird. It doesn't prove anything, but it's weird as fuck. So I'm withholding judgment on the whole, you know, life on Mars bullshit. And I think that's enough of the Martian topic for now. Next topic. So, if you've kept up with the news at all, or you listen to the major networks like CNN or Fox News, or you listen to National Public Radio or public television, because public television is sponsored by people like you and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Wherever you get your news, there's a lot of fucking chatter out there about the power of China's military, and also Russia to some extent, but specifically a lot of fear-mongering around China and hypersonic missiles and rail guns and gigantic super lasers. That are piercing the veil between realities and fucking shit like that. There's a lot of fucking fear porn about China's military right now. I want to give you all a reality check. Back in the 1960s, the CIA convinced the United States government that there was something called a missile gap. In fact, technically, this was in the late 50s, early 60s. during the transition time between the Eisenhower and the Kennedy administration. You know, John F. Kennedy, the guy that was murdered by the U.S. government and the Federal Reserve, that guy. The missile gap turned out to be bullshit, okay, folks? This is the long and the short of it. All of the CIA propaganda, it turned out to be crap. In fact, when the full accounting of the power of the Soviet military was done in the 1990s, what we came to realize is that there's a reason why the Soviets did so badly in Afghanistan, and it's not just because Afghanistan's a historical quagmire. And the fact is, a lot of their equipment wasn't nearly as dangerous, not nearly as scary, not nearly as effective as the CIA claimed it was. Now, the CIA, they had a motive. They want the power of the military-industrial complex. Listen, the CIA loses power if we don't have enemies, okay? If we don't have people to be scared of, the CIA, like the military-industrial complex, has no fucking power. So they fucking ginned up the missile gap, and then when Khrushchev took over in the late 60s... Brezhnev. When Brezhnev took over in the late 60s, When Brezhnev took over, and he went through a major period of arms buildup, again, it was like, oh my god, the Soviet Union, they're building up weapons, they're selling tanks to the fucking Nicaraguans. It was a lot of bullshit, folks. In 1976, a Russian by the name of Belenko flew the MiG-25 Foxbat to Japan. Now, prior to that particular date, prior to having a Foxbat on hand, NATO and the West was kind of scared of the Foxbat. In fact, there was a movie in the 80s called Firefox that was loosely based upon this fear. And it's funny because Firefox is about a hypersonic jet that the Soviets had. Yeah, they were never going to have a hypersonic jet. That was never going to happen. Lieutenant Belenko stole the MiG-25 and flew it to Japan, 1976. And prior to that, we thought the MiG-25 was the scariest thing ever. Like, it was like, holy fuck, what are we going to do? How do we keep up with those damn Russians? Well, here's the thing. When Lieutenant Belenko was being debriefed, they said, is it true that this plane can fly at, you know, Mach 3 plus? And he said, yes, for about 15, maybe 20 minutes. And then the engines burn out. That little fact doesn't come up in the CIA reports. You know, and they went through the list. They went through the list of the things this plane was supposed to be able to do. And after they were done going through this fucking list, they realized that the MiG-25 Foxbat, at best, was a poor fucking copy of the F-15 Eagle, which actually is still an effective interceptor today. Now, what's the moral of this fucking story? Just because Defense Weekly tells you that the Chinese and the Russians have scary hypersonic weapons doesn't actually make it true. There's a lot of reasons why China would want people to believe they have scary hypersonic weapons. So would Russia. Russia would love us to believe they have the Q-bomb. This is a tipping my hat to the mouse that roared, you know, one of my favorite Peter Sellers films from the ancient past. You know, folks, they might have these weapons, but you need to be fucking careful. And be careful when they tell you, oh, woe is me, the U.S. Department of Defense doesn't have the technology. Well, then how the fuck, what the fuck have you been doing for the last 20, 30 years with all that fucking money? Has it all been for hookers? Because that's what I'm left with. If, in fact, we are so far behind the Russians and the Chinese on hypersonics that we're in a state of emergency and that we need to spend more money on the military, what the fuck have you been spending the money on? Oh, I forget. You've been going around the world creating terrorists and then blowing them up. You know, someone could have told you that was a really piss-poor use of fucking resources. Someone should have fucking told you that. telling you, folks, they're going to tell you about Chinese under your bed. They're going to tell you about Russians coming from the sky. And it'll probably be mostly bullshit. That's the truth, folks. That's the reality. This is an old MO for the US government. They tell you that some enemy has super technology, ergo, we have to build super technology. And yeah, we're going to have to like raise your taxes or print a lot of money or float some 10,000-year galaxy bonds. And we're sure the pensions will fill up on those. Next topic, beware the female Spock touch. I don't know how long I'll be on this topic. You ever be in a conversation with a woman? And it's like, you know, it's okay, things are fine, it's not uncomfortable. And then, for whatever reason, the woman wants to make it a little bit more intimate. So she'll take her hand and she'll grab your forearm. And somehow that's okay. And I think that's bullshit. I categorize this as the female Spock touch. Women will do this. And the reason why I'm calling bullshit on this is the very same women, if you grab their forearm and did the same fucking thing, yeah, that would be like sexual harassment bullshit. And before we continue, I'm not a big fan of unwelcome touching, period. Period. Long before the whole, you know, bad touching movement came along. I kind of think, you know, human beings have a right to their physical integrity. And although there are a few forms of friendship, hello bullshit, that all humans can't accept, like hugs and shaking of hands, there's a lot of shit that I think is bullshit. And people get away with. You know, actually, Joseph Biden's a good example. That guy is creepy as fuck. He touches everybody. But yeah, I think women believe that they get a pass on this. They can grab you. If they want to step in and put on their moves, they can grab your forearm, and that's like, oh, that's okay. But you can't do the same with a woman. And before you try to quote me some courtly love bullshit, I'll call your bullshit out. It'd be perfectly appropriate in the context of courtly love for the man to touch a woman's forearm. So actually, this is really inversion bullshit. More of this cultural inversion, shit turned upside down. Okay? I am sick of it. I am sick of it. I'm tired of opening the door for women and getting a dirty look. At this point in time, I gotta say, folks, and I'm gonna be honest with you, there are a lot of women out there that are hoping that if things get bad, chivalry will kick in. And I think that that's wishful thinking. I've said this before, if you spend a century outsourcing cultural morality, principles, self-governance, you know, when you govern yourself, you don't do it out of fear of a cop. When you spend a century outsourcing moral principle and virtue, it doesn't suddenly, magically return. It doesn't. It's not like riding a bike, folks. It isn't. It doesn't work that way. When the shit hits the fan, and it's gonna, when things get tough, and boy, will they get tough, when you find yourself in a situation like many people find themselves in today, oh, by the fucking way, go to Venezuela, go to the Bahamas. If you find yourself in a state of chaos and you're hoping that the very men that you criticized and made fun of and denounced and inverted and polluted with a lot of really backward, sideways thinking are going to come and swoop in and save your ass, I hate to break it to you, but that's not what's going to happen. Courtly love, being a gentleman, these are not constants of human history, okay? These are literally things that have existed for brief periods of time when people had virtue. For much of human history, virtue was about, you know, the strong kill the weak. That was the definition of virtue. And when you consider the message of America today, you know, just watch the fucking Super Bowl. They'll tell you what the most important virtue is, going around the world wearing a fucking uniform and blowing shit up. You think that these people, you think that the people that support these principles are going to look out for you or your kids when the shit goes sideways? I believe you are deeply fucking deluded. Deeply confused. So yeah, I think it's bullshit. If I'm talking to a woman and then all of a sudden she feels like she has the license to grab my forearm, in the future, and again, this happened to me a few weeks ago. In the future, I'm just gonna say, keep your fucking paw to yourself, lady. Okay, I didn't give you permission to be all sis this and sis that. I'm not your pincushion, baby. Next topic, and this one is a dangerous one because it related to a podcast a few days ago where I talked about the Holocaust. And just to be fucking clear, I am not a Holocaust denier for several reasons, not least of which, even if it were false, and I don't believe it is, it would be hard for me to give up that particular falsehood. But it's not false. It can't be. It cannot be. It cannot be that I literally went into tens of thousands of dollars of college debt to study history, including World War II history, and this big part of it that every 5 years Spielberg makes a movie about is bullshit. I can't believe it. So anyways, I'm not a Holocaust denier, but I do need to talk about something related to the Holocaust, and that's PTSD. Now, for those of you who don't know what PTSD is post-traumatic stress disorder. It is a phenomena that occurs when a person's exposed to an event that is so emotionally powerful, so intense, that they have a hard time forgetting it. In fact, what's worse is that they'll sometimes relive it. Now, I'm mentioning this because one of the things that no therapist I've ever heard of in the history of therapists who study PTSD, I have never come across a therapist who says, every 5 years, make sure somebody makes a really realistic fucking movie that you're going to go see that will terrorize the fuck out of you. In general, people who suffer from PTSD, the strategy is not to keep reliving it over and over and over again. But to my knowledge, based upon my experience of being on this planet about 50 years, it seems like every 5 years since I was born, and probably a few years before that, there has been some movie about the terrible, terrible, terrible shit that Germans did to Jewish people in World War II. And it really is mainly about the Germans and the Jews. I mean, yes, they could do Pol Pot, they could do Jim Jones, they could do Stalin, they could do Mao Zedong. He took out 60 million between 56 and 62. That's 60 million. That's 10 times as many as, you know, the Jews that Hitler killed. But we don't see a lot of movies about that. We don't see a lot of movies about the fact that that happened in China, nor do we see films about the shit that happens in China today. Like the actual death camps in Eastern China today that are currently that currently get technical help from American companies, from American fucking mercenaries. Yeah, that's a little bit of truth. Oh, let's talk about Ford Motor Company or IBM and our good friends, the Nazis. That's another little interesting fucking story. If you're wondering if there's a pattern here, there is. You find a lot of dead people, you're going to find certain American corporations. Oh, I'm sorry. But like I said, folks, I have never, and I was in the military, never, ever, when we talked about PTSD, did anybody ever tell us that the healthiest fucking thing you can do is never forget. You need to think about this for a second. because this is one of the reasons why I get pissed off at this particular issue. Not because I think what happened to the Jewish people was good, it was evil. But the fact that it's been turned into this infinite revenge machine gun. This infinite excuse to go blow people up, specifically for the entire human race to ignore the plight of the Palestinians. Never have I heard anybody say, in treating PTSD, make sure you relive the experience. Never. Never have I heard anyone say, in a cultural context, the wisest thing you can do is to keep blaming somebody who was the child of somebody for what somebody's grandparent did. No, it's usually about forgiveness. But I have never heard anybody who works in the field of PTSD say never forget. Okay? And folks, I'm not saying we should ignore the possibility that evil people will convince us to go murder lots of people. Like, for example, after 9/11, all the millions of men, women, and children we've killed. Yeah, if there was a lesson to be learned from all that PTSD revisited every fucking 5 years, I don't know what the lesson was because we sure as shit didn't learn it. We had our Reichstag fire. We had our justification to go kill a lot of people. What fucking lesson did we learn, Mr. Spielberg? I'd like to fucking know at this point. But what I do know is this. It's a little suspicious when you consider that the standard treatment for people dealing with trauma is not to relive it. It's not to turn that memory into a constant hallucination. It is to learn how to let go of it. And that applies to forgiveness, and that applies to revenge. You know why people suspect that the Holocaust is bullshit? Because it's used as a justification for Holocausts. It's used as a justification for murder. It's used as a justification for creating essentially ghettos. Take a look at the pictures of the West Bank and take a look at pictures of the World War II ghettos in Poland and you tell me if there's any fucking difference. Next fucking topic. It seems like the economy is booming. That's the kind of shit that I heard every fucking 2 days since 2009. For the last 10 years, every other fucking day, the economy is booming. Things are great. It's hangover morning in America. Ben Bernanke and Timothy Geithner and Barack Obama saved us from the great financial turmoils. But let me ask you guys a question. If someone is constantly telling you something is true, and I mean to the point that they're fucking annoying, do you ever wonder if maybe they don't believe it themselves? Now, I know you could say, Dan, there are people who want to spread the truth, and there's that, I get it. But we're talking about historical events. We're talking about facts. We're not talking about philosophy, okay? We're not talking about debating whether there's a God or talking about anarchism versus statism versus whatever. We're talking about facts of history. Was there ever an economic recovery? Ever in the last 10 years? Okay? Ever. If you take the ledgers, if you take the ledgers of debt and money printing and actual productive growth, did any world economy, did any part of the world economy really grow in the last 10 years, if we're being honest about it? The problem is the data we get is pretty flawed everywhere. It doesn't matter if it's China or the US, it's very flawed. So at this point, a lot of it is just manipulation. It kind of makes you wonder when Janet Yellen said there would never be another recession. what did she really mean? I've thought about that because supposedly she's a really intelligent woman. So why would she say something crazy ass fucking stupid like that? There have been recessions in the history of in economic history. There have been business cycles forever. So if something magical was going to happen to remove the business cycle from reality, what the fuck was it, Janet Yellen? I think she said that shit back in 2015 or 2016. We'll never have another recession, not in my lifetime. Maybe she was diagnosed with cancer. I truly, truly don't know. But it's a weird thing to say. But it's not that weird if you accept the following principle, that this is not free enterprise. Our economy really is a stack of rackets, you know, a big old organized crime family type thing. And in that type of a crooked situation, it really is just about telling people everything's okay. Everything's okay. Ignore the pillars of smoke in the distance. Everything's okay. Ignore the signs that say space available. Hey, honey, I'm going to a job interview, okay? Yeah, where are you going? Oh, it's this company. It's growing. It's going everywhere. My friend who's a truck driver, he sees signs up and down the highways now, coast to coast for this new company, growing faster than anybody. Really, honey? What's the name of the company? It's called Space Available. Space Available, yeah. It's everywhere now. Space Available. And that's enough of that topic, because I didn't really want to spend a lot of time on that. It's just that it's just generally, I feel like whether it's Trump or Obama, they're so wanting to convince me that the economy is doing great in any given year since 2009, that it really does sound like somebody that just knows it's bullshit. You know, one of the indications of a liar is they will repeat themselves. Because, and I should say a stupid liar. There's different kinds of liars. There are intelligent ones and there are stupid ones. The stupid ones actually believe that if you literally repeat something long enough, over and over again, people will accept it as true. And there is some truth to that. A lot of propaganda works through repetition, okay? So you could say, well, Dan, don't be so mean. A lot of propaganda works through repetition. Okay, I'll agree with that. But I'm telling you, if you want to detect a lie, whether you think it's sophisticated or not, ask yourself how many times do they repeat it over and over again? Because every fucking week, since the first week of 2009, they have been telling us that everything's getting better, and there's all these jobs coming, and Obama stimulus, and the QE, and the TARP 1, and the TARP 2, and the banks are fine, and they've been stress tested. We put the banks on a treadmill. Okay, then why do we have a repo line open right now that is getting close to $100 billion a day, basically allowing banks to have a 7 or 10 day loan of billions of dollars? Why are we essentially, for all intents and purposes, adding $1 trillion in credit every 2 weeks if everything is so fucking great? Okay, I don't know. I'm gonna check the time on this because I think the podcast should probably be over here soon. I don't know. We may have time for one last topic. One last topic that has to do with grandma. Yeah, everybody loves grandma. Everybody loves grandma. In fact, that's why every election season since I was in fucking high school, certainly since I was a kid, every election season there's some commercial about grandma. The Republicans don't like grandma. They want to take away her Social Security. The Democrats, they don't like Grandma because they want to take away her God. The Democrats, they don't like Grandma. They don't like Grandma. Because they're going to make her have an abortion. I don't know. It's so ridiculous. Grandma is always carted out. Or Grandpa. Or Grandma and Grandpa are carted out every fucking 2 years to remind us that the crocodile loves us. That the crocodile cares for us. And that there are certain political parties that really love Grandma and Grandpa. And other political parties that want to throw Grandma and Grandpa into the great pit of giant lamprey. But folks, I'm going to let you in a little secret, and then I'm going to close this podcast out. No matter who you vote for, I know you love to vote. I know at some point you think it's going to work. Like, if you vote hard enough, if you just vote hard enough, like fucking, I don't know, Pinocchio wanting to be a real boy. If you just wish hard enough that the voting will work, but it doesn't. But it's worse than that, though. It's worse than that. Because all these stupid dialectics of this party hates Grandma, this party hates Grandma, Republicans hate Grandpa, Democrats hate Grandma. It's all bullshit, folks. Here's the thing about the crocodile. It doesn't know how to manage its money. Did you know that about the crocodile, that it's not very good with money? Yeah, it's not. It's deeply in fucking debt. And so when it asks questions like, what am I going to pay for? You would say, well, wouldn't it care for Grandma? No. It wants the brand new hypersonic laser caliber rifle so it can go shoot grandmas in Iraq or Syria or someplace else. That's what the crocodile wants. It doesn't give a fuck about your grandpa and your grandma. It doesn't. If a big pharma company calls up the crocodile and says, listen, can we redirect some of those Medicare funds so that we end up testing drugs for pets on grandma and grandpa? The crocodile says, hells yeah, I wish I would have thought of that myself. We can test drugs on old people that we're going to end up, you know, giving to veterinarians. That makes perfect fucking sense. And then we can save money on both sides, or rather make money, or rather we don't care. We don't really make money here in Crocodile Land. We'd redistribute buckets of gold. Yeah. Neither one of the parties cares about your grandparents. Wake the fuck up. They don't. If either party could figure out a way to make money passing a law that allowed pharmaceutical companies to test pet drugs, and I mean drugs for your cats and dogs, if they could pass a law allowing them to save money on medications for old people by essentially testing drugs for pets on them, they would. In a fucking second. You need to wake the fuck up. Anywho, it's Tuesday night, and it's just past 9:30. For those of you, you know, who work for the Queensland Navy, and I mean those of you who are somewhere far out east in South Carolina, if you're happy to listen at some point, because you know they'll censor me, note that it's 2132, and if you're fucking in the Navy and you don't know what 2132 is, you got a serious fucking problem, and good luck with those fucking pirates. They're in Mexico. They're in the Gulf of Mexico now.